This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
On this week's podcast, a couple of kids from Caulfield Grammar drop by to celebrate National Youth Week. Jess is in trouble as he's part of the fun police, and the hilarious Cal Wilson drops by. Enjoy. In the studio, two students from Caulfield Grammar, Catherine and Alex. Good morning,
good
guys.
Morning.
How are you? We can give you a little bit of a clap there. You can't hear that, but if you pretend to wear those headphones, you can hear they're clapping you. Now tell us, you've just implementing the Safe Schools Coalition into your school at Caulfield Grammar, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Alex, tell us a little bit about it and why it's important for you to implement it.
Sure. So I heard about the Safe Schools Coalition in Victoria about 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I was applying for a position in our school committee, which is like our student representative committee.
Yeah.
And they wanted ideas for the coming year and what we could do to improve support at our school.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that would be a fantastic way. At the moment, there are 123 member schools of the coalition.
Uh-huh.
So I figured, why not make Caulfield the 124th? They do a really fantastic job with student audits and staff training, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think it's just a fantastic way to recognise support for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, whatever you are, within schools, and fostering encouragement and support, celebration of your sexuality, regardless of whatever that is at school.
And you're the only out gay kid in your campus, yeah?
Correct, I am.
What's that like? Was it tough when you came out?
It was. It was isolating. It was weird as well.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of support from my friends though, which is really fantastic.
Yeah.
I think what upset me the most was that enough of kids didn't feel like they had the support they needed to come out. Yeah. I know for a fact that there are about 260 kids in my year level, which suggests about 26 of them would be gay roughly.
Mm-hmm.
And to think one of 26 in my year level, let alone the other year levels, feels comfortable enough to come out, that's disappointing. So that's why I think the coalition, something like that, would be really, really important, forming a student group. Yeah.
Yeah, well, was there much of a dialogue about that and in between the schools with you guys? Because I know when I was at school, it wasn't really something that was brought up in terms of, obviously everyone sort of talks about it in their own little friendship groups, but not as something that's raised by schools as getting an actual conversation and a mature conversation about it, because I think that's the big difference in making people feel accepted as well.
Yeah, definitely. Not really, no. There was pretty much none, and even now I couldn't say there's much. I think the most interesting thing is that within students there's plenty of support and there's plenty of talk within the kids. And I think today even it's taken for granted that most people support, but there's just no dialogue, there's no talking about it, and it gives the impression that it's taboo.
Catherine, you recently were helping in the implementation of the Safe Schools Coalition in your campus.
Yep.
I came to help you launch
at
your school assembly. What's it been like now that it's kind of been launched in your school?
Well, the immediate reaction to you coming and talking, that was kind of like the kickoff to the whole initiative.
Yeah.
Was generally very, very positive. One, a student actually came out after hearing you speak, which was just amazing. There were only really a couple of sort of, I wouldn't say negative, more like conservative reactions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily like people weren't against talking about like homosexuality, just sexuality in general.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that was sort of the only real like negative response we got. The majority of people were coming up and saying that's really good that we're opening a dialogue, because we didn't really have like a bullying problem per se, but it's just the fact that people weren't talking about it. And as Alex said, the impression was that it was something that was taboo, something that you should be afraid of. And there are actually a lot of gay teachers at the school, and they especially were really, really happy that it was, you know, that it was people were starting to talk about it.
Mm. I think you've hit the nail on the head there, because I went to a really small private girls' school, and that discussion was never, like you said, it was taboo. Like, I remember doing sex ed, and we talked about, you know, having sex and what it is, but then there was a question of homosexuality, and our teacher said something like, oh, no, we don't talk about that here. And that kind of stuck with me, because I was, I think, maybe year 8. I was like, what do you mean we don't talk about that? And I had a family member that was gay, and so I thought, well, still do. So I remember thinking, why are we talking about this? This is weird. And I remember bringing it up with my mum. So I hope that now stuff like this is really opening up that dialogue, because it's ridiculous that you can't talk about that at school. Yeah. It's just, yeah,
but it's outrageous. Education is the same thing. And I guess that's what, at the end of the day, schools are there for, to be educated. And we're not just academically, but we're also and trying to get kids ready for life. And big scary world out there, guys. So after year 12, get ready for it, you know.
Yeah, it gets better / worse. But yeah, that's why I think it's also, as you say, Christina, like things like this weren't around when we were at school, especially I went to a school in the country. And yeah, the fact that there are now things in place now to help these kids is something incredible. And speaking to the kids when I was there a couple of weeks ago was just incredible. And the fact that one of them, you know, found it so inspiring that he came out, really, I have to hold back tears when I tell people that story, because it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for you two to be in, you know, the forefront of implementing this, and Catherine being such an ally in your campus, and Alex to fly the flag, quite literally, for your campus is absolutely incredible. And to see leadership like this in young people is inspiring to us. So, yeah, congratulations.
Very emotional in here.
Yes.
The tension is great.
So, guys, is there any extra way to get any information? Anybody who does want to join the same school, the Safe Sex, Same School Alliance?
Yeah, the Safe School Coalition people can find some information on the internet. Yeah, Alex?
Yeah, I found all my information on the internet. Just do a Google search, Safe Schools Coalition Victoria. It's just a one-page membership sign-up form that just needs to be signed by your principal. That's really about it. All their online booklets and that kind of thing are all available as ebooks or PDFs, that kind of thing. So it's all there, definitely all there, and it's doable, it's achievable, and it's good.
Awesome.
Nicely put. You're on Joy 94.9. Thanks, guys, for coming in this morning. Catherine and Alex from Caulfield Grammar.
Thank you for having us.
Good luck with everything. We're supporting you.
Thank you.
And we are talking fun police.
Well, she may never let you down, but I'll bring you down, because I am the fun police, apparently.
You are the fun police. Oh, I should have got a siren.
That's all right. You're loud enough.
So we were talking the fun police, because you had a go at me and James this morning for eating the lollies and the chocolate at 5:50, because it's apparently too early.
Look, guys, I didn't have a go. I may have just suggested in a manner that kind of made it seem better to not have the chocolate.
Are you the fun police? 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. Johnny's on our side. He's like, I'm going to go ahead and say that the morning is the best time to eat chocolate and sweets, because it gives your body the entire day to burn off the calories.
Exactly. It was your judging eyes, I think, that were the worst. Like, you looked at us like, oh.
Anyway.
Well, guys, don't blame me. Blame the remnants of the hypnotist I saw. So the premise behind this, essentially, it was a fundraising day at a sports club I was at, and got up on stage, and it's, you know, I get under hypnotist, and you go up there thinking you're going to have a bit of fun. You know, you might bark like a chicken. You squawk like a chicken.
Squawk,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, cluck.
Cluck like a chicken.
Yeah, you get the idea. So, anyway, he all turned us into, here we go, that's nice. All turned us into different characters, and mine being the fun police. So I had my my little hat, my little policeman's hat, and I also had my water pistol. And if I saw anybody smiling or laughing, I had to go around and calm them down, because it was against the law. Yeah, so to give an example here, Christine's having a bit of a giggle, so I'd come over and be like, sorry, ma'am, can you please stop that giggling? If you keep going, I will have to put you under custody.
Throughout the whole event?
Yeah, it was about 20 minutes. Wow. But the funny thing about this is, I'm not sure if anybody else has been hypnotized, but you are fully aware, you are fully awake, and it's not like you're drowsy or anything like that. You're completely crystal clear, but you are 100% this person.
Do you remember doing it?
Oh, yeah, I remember it vividly. absolutely vividly.
So it worked, obviously.
It worked, 100%. And, yeah, I may have taken a little bit too far.
Oh.
I may have pretty much got... Yeah, I got into a wrestle with a few people trying to stop them joking around.
Oh, my gosh.
At a football club, there's a lot of... there's, I guess, a lot of rambunctious... activities, like people just mucking around. Somebody stole my hat.
Oh,
and that was too much fun for the fun police. May have put them in a headlock and got them up on stage, so that may have been the fun police going too far.
Whoa, that's a great story.
Yeah, but I definitely recommend it. Anybody ever wants to get hypnotized, you feel amazing after it. It's good fun, and everybody can laugh at your extent.
I want to hear more hypnotized stories.
It didn't work on me. I had it done live when... I used to work on a Channel 31 live breakfast show with James.
Oh, yeah.
And they hypnotised me live on air, and it didn't work. And then because it was live, I didn't know if I should pretend like I'd been hypnotised. Because I didn't want everyone to think that he was a phony. Yeah. So I was just like, I didn't know what to do. It was really awkward.
It only works on certain people. And I think the thing, you have to be completely relaxed and open to it. If you resist it, it's not going to work. But if you go with it, it did affect one of the guys. Absolutely hilarious. Everyone's very lucid, know what's going on. This guy was so drowsy, and one of the things he asked him to do, like every time he said something, he'd jump up and say, "Red Bull gives me wings." Anyway, like he goes, with the amount of energy, the most amount of energy you've ever got, he'd do it, and he just goes, "Ugh." He couldn't speak. It was like he was that drunk. And then the other one, he tried to get him to do it again. He goes, "Now you've had 1,000 Red Bulls." He just jumps up in the air, starts waving his arms, and goes. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Okay.
So, yeah, it definitely affects people in different ways. But
if you've got a good hypnosis story, let us know. 0427-949.
Fun police, but let's go to that.
Yeah, let's just change.
Switch
still
it up.
Still angry at the fun police situation, so but...
Yeah, I'm still angry at that. We'll get over it, though.
I'm going to keep eating the chocolate popcorn.
Okay? In the studio with us, Cal Wilson.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, how are you? You're halfway through the comedy festival.
Yeah, I don't know where I am in the comedy festival. It feels like we've been going for years and we've only just started.
It must be a pretty crazy month for anyone involved in the comedy festival.
It really is. It really is. It's just, there's just so much to see and there's so much to do. And there's, I don't know if you've walked down past the town hall, but people are flyering. Mm. And the saddest side at the comedy festival is watching a flyer try and flyer another flyer. Like, would you like my piece of cardboard? Oh, no, I have pieces of cardboard of my own.
I saw someone like a friend of mine's flyer on the floor in like the gutter. Oh. And that's a really sad thing as well.
The worst thing is I saw a comedian yesterday try and hand a flyer to a woman and she went, oh, and then looked at it and went, nah. And I was like, oh, that's his flyer. He's the guy in the picture. You've totally just rejected him.
Lucky for you, you're probably a bit past the flyering. I haven't flown.
But if I go to Edinburgh, I'm thinking about going to Edinburgh this year. If I go to Edinburgh, I will be flying my butt off.
You will be.
Totally.
When was the last time you flied yourself?
Oh, a few years ago. I probably should, I probably should do it, but...
No comedian wants to fly their own show.
No, it's awful. It's basically you going, love me, love me. Will you love me? Oh,
well, how long have you been doing it now? Like, you've been at the comedy festival for a while.
I've been here for 10 years, and I think I've done 7 shows at the festival.
Wow.
Yeah. It's awesome. Great. It's my favourite time of year.
Yeah. The city just buzzes.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. The moment the coloured lights go into the lights outside the town hall, you go, yay, it's happening. And the banners and, yeah, it's
and
brilliant.
The big white, the blackboard. It's very green this year, though.
Yeah.
When you walk past, it's like, it's green.
You can definitely spot the staff members in their green tops.
Yes.
And how's Digby?
He's good.
Son.
He's nearly 5.
Nearly 5 now?
Yeah, which is crazy.
You should get him to fly out because no one's going to say no to a cute little kid having
Yeah, he would have thrown the flies in the garden about 2 seconds after he started. He did say to me, Mummy, when am I going to be in my show? When am I going to be in your show?
Oh.
And I went, when you're a grown-up man. He goes, no, before that. Before
that. does he know what he wants to be when he grows up yet?
He's going to be Melbourne's first ninja.
Oh,
wow. He's really
actually
into...
there are. He wouldn't be the first ninja. They're all around. You just can't see them.
Yeah, I didn't like to say that to him. Don't want to break his heart. You know, encourage their dreams.
Sorry, Digby.
He plays with Ninja Lego, and so he wants to be Melbourne's first ninja.
Nice.
He's too noisy. He's way too noisy.
Speaking of what you wanted to be, so your show is half stand-up, half character.
Yeah, so it's the people I could have been if I'd made different decisions, which is really, it's really fun to do. One of them, probably the most terrifying, is the me that's still doing kids' parties at the age of 50 dressed as a fairy.
Christina?
I've stopped now, but I did kids' parties for a long time. Purely, I was a fairy, but purely just for the food. You do the party, be like, fairy's here, and then fairy would do the games, and then everyone would be like, fairy, do you want a hot dog? And I'd be like, yes.
And then fairy turned into ogre.
Fairy would like a gin, frankly.
Yeah, pretty fun job.
Yeah, but when you're 50, still dressing as a fairy, gets a little dispiriting.
Did you do kids' parties?
I used to do theatre sports. We used to do corporate gigs and things like that. So we'd have to dress up as a pixie for money. And there were bad things that happened.
I was going to say, is that one of the other bad decisions you've got in there as well?
Oh, you know.
Dressing up for money.
It was a means to an end, but there were some terrible. Probably the worst one was we did a gig in a chicken factory. So it was a chicken processor's Christmas dinner. And we found out afterwards that we'd been hired specifically to block access to the bar. So they put our stage in front of the bar to block access. It just made them angry. And we were there at 5 o'clock. The party had started at 4 o'clock and they were smashed. And they were angry. And they were angry because their Christmas dinner was chicken drumsticks. So the factory had put on their Christmas spread and they'd given them the chicken that they'd been processing every day all that year. So these really angry chicken processors are really good with knives. Just really angry. And so we get up there doing our wacky theatre sports. Oh, can I have a room in the house? Oh, can I have an occupation? And they just hated us. And they said some things which I can't say on air. And with quite an attitude. And then they just threw drumsticks at us until we left the building.
It was
the most surreal, ridiculous, trying to catch things in our mouths.
I was going
to
say,
yeah,
free meal.
Yeah.
Fairy's hungry.
It wasn't a happy meal, it was an angry meal.
I love how, because I can totally relate with the with those chicken people, mm-hmm. because I know some people who work in some kind of like restaurants or people that work in fast food joints and they're like, I would never eat there. I know what happens behind
exactly,
the scenes.
Exactly. My grandmother used to work in a biscuit factory and she'd never let us eat our favourite biscuits because she's like, I know they fall on the floor and we just sweep them up into bags.
We were just talking about Edinburgh before.
Mm.
Think you might go this year?
I think I might. It's a fantastic show. Like Melbourne is maybe 400 shows, 400, 500 shows, and mm-hmm. Edinburgh is in the thousands.
Are you going to take Digby if you go?
If I go, I'll go for a couple of weeks by myself and then the family will come over because mm-hmm. Jet-lagged five-year-old is not, not the best. We took him to England last year and when we got back, he was so jet-lagged, but we were doing things like making gingerbread at 1 o'clock in the morning because he was just up. Let's just go.
Sleep.
I can't, yeah. Because I guess they, like, five-year-olds don't really have the greatest kind of headspace to work out their body clock.
Yeah, and they have no respect. Like, if you've had a late night, they have no respect for that. I don't care. They just want to get up at 6:30 and have porridge. So, come on. Let's get that going.
Does he understand what you do for a job?
Yes, he knows I do a show.
A show.
Okay. Yeah, and he just thinks that mummies do shows. So. Which I suppose some mummies do. It sounds a bit more dubious, though, doesn't it? Mummies doing a show.
Have you been called into the principal's office yet?
That's one of the shows that I do.
Well, what about when he sees you on TV? Is he used to that? Has he seen you on TV?
All right. Yeah, no, yeah, mummies on TV.
He thinks all mummies do that.
Because it's kind of usual. Oh, your mummies do that. Yeah.
Go around to his little friend's house and go, why is your mummy on TV?
Yeah. Oh, your mummy does something. Oh, she's a nurse. Performing a really valuable service.
My mum is a showgirl.
Is it an ego shatterer when you do something amazing or big? You're like, yeah, I've just done this show, Digby. Look how proud of your mum should be. Like, no, it's just what mums do.
Yeah, he's quite deflating in other ways. Like, he goes, oh, mummy, stop saying I love you. It's boring me.
Oh!
And I go, what do you like instead? And he goes, I really like trains. And so I go, I trains you? And he goes, no, just say trains.
Oh.
So now instead of saying I love you, I have to go, hey, Digby, trains.
You know what? You can double it up and go, I choose you.
Oh. We can workshop this off air. Yeah. 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 Brilliant. Yeah.
For listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.